You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a mystical, spiritual community radiating light and love, transforming consciousness. Our mission is healing lives, building dreams, and realizing God.
Good morning, and welcome to Unity of Tustin on this beautiful January day. It's a great day to turn our attention toward peace, isn't it? Our attention typically can turn toward war when we turn on our TV, right? Because there's someone always warring against someone else, whether it be at a personal level or at a collective level. And so whenever today we're really going to be stepping into that whenever we hear or experience that call to perhaps pick up arms and go to war, whether it be through our thoughts or our actions or how we hold or relate to something, that instead we have that capacity to take a breath and shift into a greater capacity to hold in prayer what might really be being called forward in us or in our world, and to know that ultimately peace does begin with us, right here and right now. And that really is what we're going to be working with. We've been today, as we started on that journey yesterday with Reverend Lauren Fleming. She will be here and this afternoon, as well as during our Sunday services today. So it's been an incredible journey already, and we will continue that as we step into this time together. So as we do, I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. So I invite you to close your eyes and take a deep breath and release it. And continuing to follow your breath as a symbol, as a ritual of remembering that you cannot breathe in the past or the future. You can only breathe now. And so that when you breathe and you bring your attention to your breath, there's this alignment with really setting the intention to being present, allowing what might have happened in the past, perhaps this morning or yesterday, for this time only, just letting it be like on low, simmering on your stove in the back. Or what might be happening later on today, that just for now, we're setting it aside as we come into this field of being here in the sanctuary at Unity of Tustin on these sacred grounds with other souls who are consciously walking a spiritual path as well. And so with every breath, there's this recommitment, reaffirmation of our intention to be here. To be open. To be inspired. And so, beloved one, essence of all that is, from this place of openness, of willingness, we allow all that we are here to experience, the music, the meditation, to be that inspiration for us to live peace in our life. To be reminded of the ways where we might still be separate or feeling like we need to be at war. We open to the greater truth that is wanting to be recognized, to be realized, to be integrated. And so it is in that consciousness that we stand in gratitude, we stand in the realization. And so it is. Amen. Put peace into each other's hands. and share it like a treasure. And that's really the opportunity that we have here today to learn about some ways and remember some ways that maybe we have forgotten of how we can be that place of peace, that beacon in the midst of seeming chaos in our personal world and in the greater world. And Reverend Lori Fleming has a real passion for that, in especially helping ministries walk through those moments where, as a collective, there's some chaos, some conflict. And so how do we navigate that? And the eye of the storm and these peacemaking skills are beautiful ways to remember and to be called into a higher way of relating in all sorts of areas of our life. I first met Reverend Lori Fleming about 6 years ago when she joined our Southwest Unity Regional Board. My term was over, and I knew I was cycling off, and there was conflict. And I was wondering, how is this going to work? You know, because I know it takes some strong leaders to walk through times of conflict and times of what feels like it's the absence of peace. And one of the board members said, "Oh, Reverend Lori is now available because you have certain qualifications of when you can start serving on a board. She'd be fabulous. I know her from when she was in Florida. She'd be fabulous." I'm like, "Who is this Lori Fleming that comes so highly recommended?" And so we got to know each other on my last year and her first year on the board. And I, from that very beginning, was very struck with how she shows up. She is truly a champion for peace, not appeasing, but peace, and there's a difference. So, you know, we were able to navigate and walk through, you know, board members who were upset and quitting, and constituents who were upset, and, you know, all of the things that happen when we show up for life. Anyone ever not had something like that? So these are applicable skills, right? And these are moments where we are called into a higher expression. And Reverend Lori holds that candle in that and is a champion for stepping into the higher expression of what is being asked to come forward here. How are we being asked to shine our light in the midst of this? She has been a Unity minister since 2006 and has been in Unity for, you know, what, about 40 years, more than 40 years. She has served in various ministries around the country, including Sarasota, Florida, and, I'm sorry, Venice, Florida, not Sarasota, but Sarasota too. Okay, I thought so. And also in Hawaii. And just an incredible light. She is currently in Arizona and founded a ministry in Carefree, and is serving that in that capacity as well. As she just finished her cycle, her term on the Southwest Regional Board for most of those years as president, as well as serving in a variety of other capacities within the Unity movement, including license and ordination, which is where ministers who are in ministerial students, get to go before a panel of ministers and prove that they know Unity teachings, which is always a joy and delight to students. So, and she's one of those that gets to hold that space and ask questions and be in that field with them. So it is my joy to welcome her to this beloved community, our beloved community. Will you join me in welcoming Reverend Lori Fleming?
Well, good morning. What an interesting idea that a group of ministers can be on a board and there could be conflict. Who knew, right? Well, it's a joy to be here with you today. We had a lot of fun yesterday. We played some games. We found out some things about ourselves we didn't know, and we learned some tools to help us go through conflict. So it was Sunday morning, and the husband comes into the bedroom and says, "Honey, it's time to wake up. We have to go to church." And his wife says, Leave me alone. I'm going back to sleep. I'm not going to church today. And she rolls her pillow over her head and goes back to sleep. He gives her 5 minutes. He goes back in. He says, honey, come on, wake up. We have to go to church. She goes, no, I am not going to church. She pulls the blanket up over her head and goes back to sleep. He gives her 5 more minutes. He brings a cup of coffee this time. And he says, honey, come on, wake up. It's time to get up. We have to go to church. She goes, I am not going to church today. And he says, you have to. You're the minister. You didn't expect that, did you? No. So my talk entitled today, What Does Life Happen Through You or Does Life Happen... No, wait. Go back. Does life happen to you or does life happen through you? Because it makes a difference. If you say that life happens to you, you take on the hat of the victim. But if you say life happens through me, you can take your own power and you can become the victor. It's your choice. And so the tools I'm going to give you today come from our master teacher, from Jesus. And he says it this way. This is Matthew chapter 4, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. What? Bless them that curse you. I don't think so. Do good to them that hate you. Who's he talking to? And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Really? I don't know. That's a pretty big bill, isn't it? So what is this thing, love your enemies? What is love? Hopefully you have a lot of that in your life. I have a partner, my husband and I have been married for 42 years. We got married in the Unity Church in Cincinnati. And over the years, we've grown and we've had a vision for our life and we keep changing the vision as we grow. And when I look at him, I still see that young man with the dark hair, not the gray hair he has now, and the face without wrinkles. But we've grown together, and we've moved together, and we've created a life together that we still want to be together. That kind of a deep attachment to someone is just such a beautiful thing. You know, we've buried all four of our parents in a real short period of time, and both of us have buried one of our brothers, and we've been through a lot, but that's been said that love conquers all. Why do we have to use a term, a warlike term, with love? I'm going to have to think of a better one. If you think of a better one than love conquers all, let me know, right? So Jesus is telling us that we have to love our enemies. I don't know. You know, we love our children, and sometimes our children do things that we don't want them to do. I made one mistake in raising my 3 children. Only one. That's pretty good, because the oldest is 47. The mistake I made is teaching them to think for themselves and then expecting them to do everything I told them to do. But you know, that love for them started from the moment they were born. Well, actually, before they were born. But the first time, my daughter's the oldest, and when I saw her face, that beautiful face, something came over me, and it was love at first sight. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, I have a grandson who's 22, and we have a really special bond. I've always said he's the only one I have. I've always said that he was my favorite grandson. Well, my middle son and daughter-in-law are expecting a baby in April, and it's also a boy. And my grandson was with us at Christmas, and he says, Gah, that's what he calls me, Gah, you've always said I was your favorite grandson. What are you going to do now with a new baby? And I'm going to say, you're my favorite oldest grandson. You know, we have love for our pets. Many of us, our pets are like our children. I have a cat, and he's pretty much human. I mean, he follows me like a dog. And, you know, we have love for our friends and love for our neighbors. And Jesus is saying, love our enemies. It's easy to love our family and our friends and our neighbors, but loving our enemies, I don't know, that kind of shakes me up. And isn't that what Jesus' life was about? Shaking up the status quo, making people think in a different way. You know, he called his way the way, and it was totally different than anyone anyone had taught before. But I think it's a little bit tough sometimes to love the enemy, someone who has maybe done us wrong, Maybe someone who has stolen from us, or cheated us, or cheated on us. It's easier to think of someone as an enemy when they've done something to me, because then they're out there. They're no longer connected to me. And really, we are all one. And if we're all one, then when we're loving our enemy, we're loving ourselves also, because they're the mirror of who we are. So what about people we don't know personally? You know, we're seeing all this stuff in the news. We're posturing our, well, we aren't. No one in here is doing this, but those people in Washington are posturing themselves to be against certain people. But how can you hate someone in another country you don't even know? How can you hate someone by the way they look, the color of their skin, or what their orientation is? I mean, I can understand if you hate someone that cheated on you. You still have to forgive them. I can understand that. Well, I had an interesting time in my life that I needed to do some really deep forgiveness work. My daughter is a triathlete, and she was riding her bike in a 60-mile ride, and she got hit by a car. And the guy in front of her got hit by the car. It was a Bronco. And it drove the pedal of the bicycle all the way through to the other side. Somehow she got off the bike. She had fractured one of her vertebrae. She broke her wrist and had to have a pin. She had road rash up and down her shin. She had 50 stitches in her knee. I don't even know how you put 50 stitches in a knee, and I saw it. And the other person that was ahead of her, the car hit the back wheel. He flipped up onto the hood of the car and was thrown off. And he hit across his shoulder blades on the curb. And if he hadn't just filled up his Camelback water bag that he had on his back, he probably would be paralyzed. And the driver left the scene of the accident. They never found him. Now, he had to know he ran over a bike and there was a guy on his trunk, on the hood of his car. I'm pretty sure he had to know that even if he was on drugs, right? But he left the scene of the accident, and I got to choose. I got to choose whether I made it my life's mission to go after him, to find justice and restitution and make sure that he got prosecuted. And I went there at first, and it took about 30 seconds for me to practice what I preach as a minister, because life doesn't happen to me. Life happens through me. And how I react to a situation makes all the difference in the world. It makes a difference in my world, and it makes a difference in your world. And so because I was able to unconditionally forgive him, I'm not saying I did it in a second. I'm not saying I did it in a day. But I'm saying that I did it. And I'm saying that it brought me closer to my own wholeness. It brought me closer to my love of God and my love of all people. And so what kind of inner resources does it take for us to learn how to love our enemies? Can we recognize every person on this planet as a child of God? Yeah, I'm seeing this. Oh, yeah. God don't make junk. That's not very good English, but I bet you'll remember it. God don't make junk. What God makes is perfect and whole and created in God's image and likeness. Your little godlings. So what inner resources do we have to help us keep connected with our wholeness? Well, Jesus is demonstrating that we can learn to love our enemies. It's a mirror for our own wholeness and reflection, because no one is against me. No one and nothing is against me. That's one of the themes of Gary Simmons' book, The Eye of the Storm. No one and nothing is against me. So that means everything and everyone is for me. That's pretty cool, right? And the for me part is being a reflection so that I can see when maybe I'm not showing up exactly as whole. It can be a little nudge, and I can go, oh, I need to pray some more. I need to work on me some more. We all know Myrtle Fillmore's story, right? That she was given the diagnosis of tuberculosis and given 6 months to live, and that she only lived 40 years after that. Because she talked to her cells. She told them how much she loved them. She didn't look at them as an enemy. She raised the vibration to the level of wholeness. And that's what I think it means to love our enemies, is to raise our vibration and their vibration into such a loving state that we all feel like the one that we really are the one of humanity. So when we embrace our enemies, when we love our enemies, then we can become whole. Step two, Jesus says, bless them that curse you. So what is a blessing? A blessing is bestowing goodwill on someone. If you remember in the Old Testament, when the father was on the deathbed, the father would call the oldest son in. The oldest son always inherited everything. And he would bestow on his son all of his property, all of his wives, all of his children, all of his animals, all of his money. And he would give the son a blessing that was filled with words of confidence, of prosperity, of goodwill for the future. So to bless means to look for the good in a situation. That when there's conflict, when that hurricane is swirling around you and you manage to keep to your center, when you look for the good in something, no matter what it looks like in the outer, because God means it for good. All of it, the storms, everything. We're supposed to bless those who curse us. This is an amazing example of blessing those who curse us. Remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Joseph, the coat of many colors? Do you know why he had a coat of many colors? Because he was the youngest son. And because clothing was very valuable there. And when you wore the elbows and the knees out of your clothes, you'd cut the good parts of the fabric out and sew them together in a patchwork. And being the youngest son, you got all the hand-me-downs. So he had a coat of many colors, pieces of clothing from all of his 11 older brothers, endowed with their spirit. He was strong and powerful, and he represents imagination. Well, his brothers cursed him. His brothers threw him in a pit, left him for dead. And a caravan of Egyptians came along, and they rescued him from the pit, and they took him back to Egypt and made him a slave. But he had imagination. He had that intuition. He knew that he could read his dreams, and Pharaoh raised him up in the court, even out of jail. Pharaoh raised him up, and he had a dream, and he said, Pharaoh, I've had this dream, and there are going to be 7 years of plenty, and there are going to be 7 years of famine. We need to prepare. And Pharaoh said, okay, and they prepared for it. They made extra grain. They saved it back. And when the 7 years of famine came, Egypt had food. And none of the other people around the Mesopotamian area and Babylon and Canaan had any food. And Joseph's father and Joseph's brother came to Egypt because they were hungry. And they came before Joseph, and they didn't recognize him because they thought he was dead. But Joseph recognized them. And what did he do? He blessed those that cursed him. He blessed his brothers, and he sent them home with caravans full of food and gold and all of the good things in life. He blessed them who cursed him. How can we bless those who've wronged us in our lives? We've all had people have done us. How can we bless those who curse us? Can we recognize that when we're in enemy territory, that it's simply a time for us to rise up and claim our good? We don't have to stay there, that judgment attaches us to limitation. I don't want to be limited. I want to be unlimited. I don't want to judge because you know what? Judgment is like a boomerang. You throw it out and it comes right back and it hits you right between the eyes. I don't want that in my life. I want to have the capacity to realize how amazing my life can be when I've done my inner work. I'm willing to go deep. I'm willing to find that mystical point where God and I are one every second of every day. It's all about perception, and we get to choose whether we think people are persecuting us or not persecuting us. You've probably heard the story before. It's about a farmer. Farmer has a horse. The horse runs away, right? The nosy neighbor comes over and says, oh, that's too bad. Your horse has run away. Probably going, ha, 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 ha. The farmer goes, maybe yes and maybe no. And the next day, the horse comes back, and it brings two wild mares with it. And the nosy neighbor comes over and says, wow, that's great. Now you have three horses. And the farmer goes, maybe yes or maybe no. And the next day, his son is out there trying to tame the wild mares, and one of them throws him to the ground, and he breaks his leg. And the nosy neighbor comes over and says, Oh, that's too bad. Your son has a broken leg. And what does the farmer say? Maybe yes and maybe no. But the next day, the army comes through and takes all the eligible young men to take them off to fight in the war. But the son can't go because he has a broken leg. And the nosy neighbor says, wow, that's great. Your son doesn't have to fight in the war. And what does the farmer say? Maybe yes and maybe no. Right, because it's about perception. What you name good today may change tomorrow. What you bless today will always be good. It won't change. So can we go around blessing everything? You get a choice to bless or to curse. And when you bless something, you get more of it. And when you curse something, you get more of it. So I'm just going to bless things, right? Because a true mystic sees the good in every situation, one that we can learn from, one that we can grow spiritually, one that brings us greater abundance into our life every single day. So Jesus' third step is, do good to them that hate you. So do good means to take authentic action, right? It means to avoid the impulse to disconnect and return the harm. Sometimes that's what we want to do, right? We want to retaliate. They really hurt me. I want to hurt them back, right? Well, we were all taught to do the right thing at some point, right? And pretty much we all agree, things like we stop for red lights and we go for green lights, right? They're things we kind of all agree on. Although some people where I live in Phoenix haven't gotten the red light part down yet. But there are things in cultures that one culture believes one thing and another culture believes the other thing. And so I think that we feel like we're in enemy territory when we don't quite know what the right thing to do is. I have a couple of friends who've lost their spouses and they're starting to date again. And they don't even know what the rules are to date again. I have one friend, she's like, I'm just not doing it. I can't do it, you know. But when we bring to light that we're whole and that we're perfect, and that no matter what it looks like, that we can go through the enemy territory, that we can do good for those who hate us, we can take the responsibility for our part in the situation. Okay, it always takes two to tango, right? My husband always says, it takes two to have a fight, and I'm not showing up. That's a really good thing, actually. Can we begin to become connected at a heart level? At a level of unconditional love that flows out all to the rest of the humanity. Good elevates our actions from just the mundane things that people do every day. Doing good for people that hate you is a mirror reflection. It comes back to you, and you get more good in your life. But if we need to be right, if we need to have our hurts appeased, we're not going to reap all of the good that we can because our consciousness is at a lower level. When we try to appease someone who's done us wrong, we stunt our spiritual growth. Think about that for a minute. Wouldn't it just be easier to bless people to their higher good, to do good to those who hate you? You've heard this before. We're all spiritual beings having a human experience. So forget the fact that you're a human being and become the spiritual being you were born to be. Well, it's easier said than done because, you know, we forget, we go to sleep, and then we wake up and we remember, right? And then we're okay for a while, and then we go back to sleep. I know, I do it too. Just because I'm a minister doesn't think I've perfected this. But when we're fully aware of God's presence and power all around us, it vitalizes us. It brings every cell in our body back to wholeness. It creates an opening for other people who are in discord to step into our good energy, our feeling energy, and it brings us to wholeness. When we pray for our enemies, it shifts our awareness to that place where we're one with God and so is the other person. It calls them into a space of real power. They can't not feel it. They may not realize what's happening, but they feel lighter. They feel uplifted. And we get connected from a heart-to-heart level, and this is our true power. When we pray for our enemies, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to go away. But it means that we're opening our heart to them so they're no longer enemies, so that we can walk through the conflict, we can walk through the storm, and we can have some kind of reconciliation that brings us all together. So when conflict arises, and it will, it's part of the human condition, are you prayed up? Are you ready for it, knowing that no matter what shows up, you're going to stand in your center, you're going to stand in our power, so that we can love our neighbor, we can pray for our neighbor, we can forgive our neighbor, and then we'll have a clean consciousness that will elevate the world, and that's how we create world peace. We sing it every Sunday when we leave here. Take it out in the world with you. Namaste.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.